Our lesson study this morning will be on the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. What can a Christian do? What can he be? What should he be? How should a Christian think? And how can he manage to think that way? How should he act? How can he manage to act the way he thinks he ought to act? How should he speak? How can he be assured he's going to speak the way he thinks he should speak? How should he relate to others? How should he keep his mind in check? How does he protect his frame of mind? How does he change his mind? How should he treat others? It is by the renewing of your mind. And in a minute, we're going to consider that in more detail. Surprisingly, there is a great deal of evidence in Scripture that characterizes the attributes of a Christian and how that Christian needs to think. How he needs to be, what is his character. And it therefore becomes possible for those who are seeking to turn their life around or are trying to find the will of God for their life to have a good set of guidelines here in God's Word. Not only for their own life, but for others as well who are within the family. And a life that is not only an example of others, but one that is pleasing to the Father as well. So to begin with today, I want to briefly review some of the attributes before we look at our subject, the renewing of your mind. By the way, these attributes are not something to make you holy or perfect. You cannot make yourself holy. The word holy is really not quite like you think it is. It doesn't really have anything to do much with being goody two-shoes. It has been set aside for a purpose. You cannot be good enough to redeem or save yourself or to make yourself holy. This is only possible by the grace of God that we be made righteous and without blemish. Only by the finished work of Christ can we be what we should be. But here are the goals. Here's 20 attributes of a Christian. And there are probably many more. I've just pointed out these 20 that I've identified. The first being thankfulness. There are over 150 references to this scripture. This idea of being thankful. Don't take things for granted. Remember to say thank you to God for all of His goodness to us, and also to your own family and your own friends. The second thing I would point out is joyfulness. And as we have spoken in the past, happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness depends on what is happening at any moment. And we know sometimes things are bad and we're not too happy. But joy and joyfulness is a more primitive state and comes from having a knowledge of God's purpose and plan. If you cannot articulate the gospel, if you do not know what God's purpose and plan is, I'm telling you, you're not going to be very joyful. There is what I describe as collateral blessing to having a knowledge of God's purpose and plan for the ages. The third thing I would point out for you is patience. Patience is linked with hope in the Scripture. In Romans, there is a direct command to hold on in faith and endure with patience. Number four, humility. That's a good one. Oh, how we like to have our own way. But the scripture says to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You are not what you think you are, what you think you are. Number five, I would point out, prayerfulness. Prayer is a lifting up of the mind through Christ to the Father. It is a state of mind, not merely a time set aside to pray. Paul, of course, teaches us to pray without ceasing. You know, that's impossible unless you understand what prayer is. Prayer becomes a state of mind in which you live. When you pray, Paul says, go into the closet to pray. Don't pray in vain repetition. We looked at that last week with regard to the kingdom prayer that is so often spoken. But pray without ceasing. So it becomes more than this verbalization of some request. It has more to do with the renewing of the mind. Number six, confidence. The Lord told Joshua to be strong and confident and not afraid or dismayed. The person that has renewed his mind is strong and confident in the Lord. He's not running around scared all the time. Number seven, discernment and understanding. The average person may be clever and smart and have an agile mind with a high IQ, but only by the enlightenment of Scripture can we have great understanding. And that's one of the reasons that we have Philippians 1, 9, and 10 up on the stage behind us. May your love abound in knowledge and discernment till the day of Christ. Don't underestimate this understanding that comes with the Scripture because it has a renewing of the mind. Number eight, submission. Therefore, subject to the powers that be, the laws of man and government and God, not our own selfish ways. An order. All through Scripture, in God's plan, there is this order of events. It even has to do with the angels, the principalities and powers. It has to do with government. It has to do with the marriage. There is a certain order that God lays out. And when you get outside of the boundaries that God has laid for us, problems arise. And I don't need to point out what they are. But we see it in society today. It's unbelievable how many are outside of what God's plan is. Submission to the will of God and to the order that He's set forth. Number nine, quietness. When things aren't going our way, often the torment of words flow, only making matters worse. Sometimes it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. When you are vexed, it is usually better to help to keep your mouth shut. He says, be still in my strength and know that I am God. Relaxation, number 10. Turmoil exists in the world, but the Christian relaxes in the Lord. He is our refuge and strength. Don't be uptight. In the annals of time, most of what we worry about is but trivia, particularly in the eyes of God. So the Christian is relaxed. Why? Because he has renewed his mind. There's something to this renewing of the mind. Leaven, another attribute of a Christian. We live in a crooked and perverse world where there is a steady flow of negative news. But earthly wisdom cannot bring peace. Christ alone is the Prince of Peace. We've looked at the verse in Matthew 10:34. Think not that I come to bring peace, I come to bring the sword. That's not the kind of peace that's being talked about here eventually by the Apostle Paul and others. It's peace of mind, not world peace. Peace of mind. Another attribute of the Christian is the compassion and sympathy, not just in trouble, but in rejoicing as well. Some will resent others' good fortune. You ever notice the lottery winners? How so often they just have nothing but trouble. Their family and everybody else resent them. But a Christian has compassion and sympathy and will rejoice with those who have good fortune and will hurt with those who do not. Graciousness. The Lord has been gracious to us, and a Christian should be gracious as well. Steadfastness, dependable. A Christian is constant. He's not whipped between emotional highs and lows. You see this so much. You see people one day they're higher than a kite, and the next day they're tripping along on their bottom lip. Why? Because they have not renewed their mind. They do not have joy. They're happy here and they're under the weather here. Steadfastness, dependable, is the mark of a Christian. Christianity is not a marathon event or a 100-yard dash event. It's a marathon event. It's every day. Consistency. Paul says to be cautious and not to be tossed about to and fro by every doctrine. Christ does not change. He's always the same. So should you be. The Word of God is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow. And you, if you have renewed your mind, will be consistent and steadfast. Number 15, kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Need I say more? The mark of a Christian. In fact, I think compassion is probably one of the biggest marks of a Christian. It doesn't make one a Christian, but Christians tend to be compassionate for others. A Christian is friendly. Proverbs says a friend loveth at all times. The Christian should be friendly. If you don't have a lot of friends, perhaps you should take a look at yourself. A Christian is not boastful. Self-explanatory. You know, don't brag. A Christian has wisdom. Wise. You need wisdom. Why do you need wisdom? It safeguards the truth. Christian is honest. Last but not least is the Christian needs to be knowledgeable. The Christian's greatest need and his greatest attribute is to know the love of God and to understand His purpose and His plan, to know Him. That is your greatest need as a Christian. So I've listed 20 things here as how we should be as a Christian. So the big question, the $64 question is, how are these attributes achieved? How does one go about changing their life for the better? How is the will of God for your life found? It's not like one day you walk along and all of a sudden there it is in the weeds. Oh my gosh, here's the will of God for my life. Now I'm going to be happy. I've found the will of God. It's not the way it works. How does one set about to get on the right track with one's life? Well, Paul teaches that it is the renewing of your mind. How's that done, the renewing of your mind? Well, open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's not rocket science. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give you understanding in all things. Now Paul's speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, but this is the Lord telling you, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give you understanding in all things. Counselors, rehab are all second place. Are they okay? Yeah, they're okay. But they don't renew your mind. They're temporary. Here in the word, consider, one is called upon to use the mind. Wake up. Paul's saying, think, ponder, consider what I say. The process is after initial belief and faith in Him, and it starts between the ears. Many, many claim to be Christians. They claim to have faith, but that's where it stops. They don't grow beyond. They don't grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. They don't consider what He says. It requires some mental perception with the mind if you want to please God with your life. So many Christians, they say, oh, I believe, and they have faith, but I refer to them as spiritual pygmies. They have not grown in the grace and the knowledge of Him. And this growth, it's not found in Facebook or in a bottle of vodka. It's found in considering what He says. You must consider what He says. You cannot be caught in the ways of the world and please Him or be at peace with all the attributes of a Christian that we just looked at. Now there's a reason for needing to renew your mind. The problem is, the mind of man has been impaired by the fall of man. The entrance of sin into the human race is the problem. And so often the Christian is drug along in that. Back up in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Other Gentiles, what Paul's referring to is the Corinthians. The Corinthians were just horrible. I'm telling you, they were bad. The things that they were practicing over there were, you know, much like what you see today, only worse. And the word vanity there, I went back and looked at that word in the Greek, and it is equal to foolishness in the mind. Example, dumb things that the mind can think is good at the time. Folly, no purpose, emptiness. But the root word of that is a gnawing. A gnawing constantly, a vanity, a gnawing of the mind on that which is not right. Ridiculousness. It is the ways of the world. Oh, I am so depressed. I am just so depressed. Give me a pill. Oh, I got to have a shot of heroin or a vodka or something. It includes all immoral, greed, pleasure, acts of violence, from flying off the handle, and I don't even need to tell you the rest. Look at verse 18. These folks having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What is that? They are not considering what God says. Consequently, one's understanding is darkened, unable to see clearly, actually alienated from God by their ignorance and their lack of understanding and knowledge. Like Paul says, not using the mind. They have no feeling for others and find themselves hardened to the point that they become alienated from family, from friends as well. In short, they become first-class jerks. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. At this point, no feelings for others. No feelings for family or for friends. Lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? It's lust. Sexual lust. Desires outside what is laid out as correct. In the marriage, it is fornication. Turning into greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. The truth, he's telling these Ephesians, the truth is in Christ Jesus, and that reasoning can never lead to the truth or renewing of the mind. It only comes through him by what? By considering what he says. You cannot turn your back on it and ignore it. You must consider what he says. Because God's will for you is found in his word. If you wish to set your life in a different direction, renew your mind with the word of God by considering what he says and applying it to your life. One of our favorite verses here at the forum is 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. That is not, that word approved is not approved for salvation. It includes much more. It has to do with a testing and a growing and approved. It also means to be useful. It also means the word appearing, but I won't get into that, but some of you will understand. Study yourself to show thyself approved for appearing. That is the reward that comes through study of the word. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He shall receive a reward. And so this morning I'm encouraging you, if you want to turn your life around, if you want to change what you have been, and God, you know, I'm thankful that He doesn't see us for what we are, but He sees us for what we can become. And if you want to become the Christian that these 20 attributes describe, then you need to renew your mind by considering what He says. And it's only possible through this process that is described here by Paul in his epistles. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the possibilities that exist for us to renew our minds. I just pray that each one here will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him, and that we all may walk worthy wherein we are called. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know ye no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.